Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules, your host from beautiful Southern California. Oh my goodness, you're going to love this show tonight. We have Steve Pavlina with us. Now, many of you will know Steve from his massive blog site that he's had for over 4 years. Steve is now an author with his new book, Personal Development for Smart People, just published by Hay House. I'm going to mention that this book, I believe, is going to be an incredible bestseller. And if it's not, it should be, because it has the potential of changing everyone's life. Truly, we have got a fantastic show for you tonight, so stay tuned. You are not going to want to miss it. And before we talk with Steve, let me just mention that Todd Silva is coming back next Sunday. This is just in time to fill us with inspiration for the holidays. So get your $1 bills ready to give away and share some holiday magic. Todd's also going to be talking about his brand new radio show on, of course, the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Plus, I'm going to be playing another Todd Silva original song that you're going to love. And then after that, we're going to hear from Lee Harris and Zachariah's outlook for 2009. It's really fascinating. I don't know if you've heard the 2008, but it was right on target. So I'm anxious to hear what the outlook will be for 2009. And to start the new year outright, we will have John Assaroff, one of the stars of The Secret, will be with us to share some great motivating information with us. So keep on tuning in, because we're just getting warmed up here. Remember that on January 1st, the Law of Attraction Radio Network is starting. If you want to make sure you get a monthly update of all the shows and hosts, send me an email at jules@lawofattracttalkradio.com or julie@lawofattractiontools.com, and I'll put you on our update list. No matter what age you are, this network has everything you need to know about the Law of Attraction and everything you need to know to live your life to the fullest. It's fantastic, and I'm excited. The shows on the network are inspiring, nurturing, informative, and will encourage you to take the next step in creating a wonderful life. Remember to bookmark www.lawofattracttalkradio.com. So let's get on with our fabulous show tonight with Steve Pavlina. Steve is widely recognized as the most successful personal development blogger on the internet, attracting more than 2 million monthly readers to his website, stevepavlina.com. He has written more than 800 articles, recorded 20 audio programs on a broad range of self-help topics, including productivity, relationships, and spirituality. Steve has been quoted by the New York Times, USA Today, the LA Daily News, Self Magazine, and The Guardian. And now he's written a book called Personal Development for Smart People, The Conscious Pursuit of Personal Growth. It is dynamite. Welcome, Steve, to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thanks so much, Julie. Glad to be here.
Steve, I'm very familiar with your wonderful website, but I'm just curious, what made you take the leap into being a brand new author?
Yeah, well, I've been working in the field of personal development for a little over 4 years now, but what got the Hay House book deal going was kind of an interesting story, because it's sort of a really strange twist how it happened, because in 2004 I went to one of their conferences here in Las Vegas, and I saw Dr. Wayne Dyer speak, and at the time I was running a computer game development business, and I found his talk so inspiring. I thought to myself, you know, this really isn't what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. I just, you know, I've been doing game development for 10 years, and when I got in my 30s, I really started feeling like it wasn't the right career path for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to switch from that and getting into doing some more writing and speaking about personal development. This is something I've just been doing on the side as a hobby, because I started writing some articles on my game development site to help out other game developers. So I already had a little bit of that going, but it was just a little side hobby. So I started up a personal development blog and just started writing tons and tons of articles. Since then, I've written about 800 articles, and it's just been wonderful how quickly it took off. Well, the funny thing is that because the blog got so popular, Hay House started to notice, and I'd been going to their I Can Do It conference as a blogger during that time to review the conference, and they stumbled across one of my reviews. One of the producers from Hay House Radio came across one of my reviews, and they said, hey, we should maybe, you know, talk about doing a book deal with this guy. So I met with them at the same conference in 2007, and they offered me a book deal basically, and said, we're interested in your work. If you submit a proposal, good chance we'll be interested. So I did that, and just came out this year in September. So and now I'm actually speaking at that conference.
Talk about the law of attraction.
And it's funny because it was in some ways so easy. Once I got myself on that heart-centered path, doing what I really love to do, and it's just like I guess broadcasting so much joy. I mean, the book deal came to me. This is a book that has never been rejected. I didn't have to submit it to a whole bunch of publishers. The publisher came to me. And that's unusual for Hay House, too, because almost always they require people to get a literary agent and submit to them. I didn't need an agent or anything. So it was almost too easy.
Oh, those are the kind of manifesting stories I love to hear. Steve, you know, you're in self-development, but you really go hand in hand with the law of attraction.
Yeah, I've written some articles about the law of attraction. They've become pretty popular for a while. I'm not sure if it still is, but I know one of them was ranked in the top 10 on Google. If you search on law of attraction, it might still be there. So it's just an article called The Law of Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I've written a number of articles like about law of attraction and money, law of attraction and health, and how it relates to different parts of our lives. Basically, what I've done is I just shared my personal experience with it. I have probably a different take on the law of attraction than most people do, because I tend to integrate it more with action. See action as a component of it.
Are you talking inspired action?
Yes, it definitely has to do with inspired action. See, when you're really in alignment with the law of attraction, action doesn't feel like it's so much effort. It doesn't feel like it's so much work. But one of the things I think people get into this headspace of thinking about that doesn't serve them is when they feel like they could just sit around thinking about what they want and doing nothing about it, and that they'll get what they want. I think the real problem there isn't so much that they're not doing anything, but that if they're not willing to do something, then they're probably not really in the right space of desire. They're probably not there yet emotionally. See, when I think about something I want, and if I really, really want it, and it's really something that's important to me, I can't help myself from taking action. It's like the law of attraction manifests through my own body too. It's like my body, I just feel compelled to get up and do something. You know, make some phone calls or write something or work on a speech, or, you know, it's like I'm driven to action. It's like this, I feel this force pushing me to get going. Well, when I don't feel that force, I notice it's not that my own actions are, you know, my own lack of action is causing the problem. It's the fact that my own lack of action is a sign that I don't really want it badly enough. That's not really a true desire. It's almost always a socially conditioned desire, something I've been taught to think I want, but I don't really want.
Wow, that is so well said. You know, that brings clarity as to motivation, as well as a good reason for procrastination. That's very insightful. Steve, again, the whole book seems like it's based on the law of attraction, or it can be interspersed. Did you write it with that in mind?
They do. My book isn't specifically about the law of attraction, although I do mention the law of attraction in the book. This book is more about the roots of personal growth. And the real question I try to answer with this book is, what does it mean to grow as a conscious human being? You know, what is there some kind of universal definition we can come up with for personal growth that would be culturally independent and that would be so universal that it doesn't matter if we're talking about growing in the area of health or relationships or our career, finances, spiritual growth, whatever. All of that would be subject to these principles. Like, you know, if you came up with the right set of principles, the right way of thinking about it, then it could work for you no matter what. The law of attraction overlaps that a little bit because the law of attraction is something you could apply to any area of your life, and it's also culturally independent. It doesn't matter, you know, what country you're in. It doesn't matter whether you're on the earth or the moon. You know, it doesn't matter whether you speak English or Spanish or French or German. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about improving your health or your relationships, your finances, whatever. All of that can be within the domain of the law of attraction. The law of attraction can apply to all those things.
And that's what makes this book so vital to all law of attraction followers, in that we've got to get clear of what's going on inside.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I focused on a principle-centered model. My original idea for the book, I actually started writing it in 2005, and then I got about 30,000 words into it, which is about three chapters, and I just put it aside because I was really not writing the kind of book I felt I was meant to write. I didn't feel that passionate about it. I wasn't feeling a sense of drive to complete it. It felt like just another Me Too self-help book. So I really scrapped that whole book, and it was about 2.5 years later when I started talking to Hay House that I finally got that inspired idea to write a book about the roots of personal growth, about something more principle-centered. And I wanted to know, like, why is it that we have all these different experts out there giving us health advice and relationship advice and spiritual advice, and it's all these different rules, and it gets so complicated. And I thought, you know, the law of attraction, for example, is one thing that simplifies everything. If you understand the law of attraction, you can make some strides in any area of your life. Well, I wanted to go a little bit deeper and say, are there other principles? Are there some core principles that if we understood them, then we could use them as sort of a growth compass so we can know when we're moving in a positive direction and when we're moving away from growth or we're stagnating, and we can also use them to diagnose problems. Like if we're stuck in a certain part of our life and we're not getting the results we want, then we can use these principles as like an analysis tool. And I found that's one of the most powerful ways it works is when you understand the core universal principles behind all successful growth efforts, then whenever you're stuck in some area of your life, it will always be because you're out of alignment with one or more of these principles.
Oh, yeah, that makes so much sense. So you wrote about the guiding principles. How many principles are there?
Sure, there's seven total, but there's only three primary ones. The other four can be derived from the first three. So the three primary ones are truth, love, and power. And what those mean is truth is simply your awareness of what is. It's your ability to perceive reality accurately. It's also your ability to make good predictions about what's going to happen. Our minds normally work this way. We're always predicting what's going to happen. We're predicting where our careers are going. We almost can't help but think about the future. Well, when we're aligned with truth, we help get those predictions in line with our desires. See, we always have a problem when we're predicting something, you know, when we rationally predict where our life is going to go, but it's not going in the direction we want. That's when we're out of alignment with truth there. And when we get ourselves in a situation where what we're predicting is absolutely what we want to experience, that's when we're feeling really the full force of the law of attraction, because now we're moving towards what we want. So truth is just, it's largely a passive principle. We're just observing what we're getting. We're observing reality. So when we see where we're going, and we see where our current, I guess you might call it our current vibration, is taking us, is leading us, or just where our current thoughts are taking us, where our current momentum is going. It doesn't matter, you know, whether we're talking about career, finances, health, whatever. I mean, you can look at your friend's situation, and you can see where they're going. Okay, if you were to, like, go to your friend's house and look at their financial situation, like, show me your bills, show me your income statements, show me how you're doing. You can just look at that information, and you could come up with some reasonable predictions about where they're heading. Like, is this person enjoying a positive cash flow, or are they sinking into debt? Are they about to get the experience of a foreclosure or bankruptcy happening? You can make some predictions about that. Similarly, if you take that kind of objective mindset and you apply it to your own life, you can make some kind of predictions about where you're heading. And also about the way you feel about those predictions really tells you how well you're applying now the second principle, which is the principle of love. And that principle is really quite simple. It just means that you're bringing more of what you want into your life, you're connecting with what you want, and you're disconnecting from what you don't want. And we run into this problem all the time where we we find our lives filled with things we don't want. And the principle of truth will show us that if we just predict where those things are taking us, it's taking us further and further from what we want. It's like more and more of what we don't want coming into our lives. I could see that on my old career path. When I started thinking about doing another 10 years as a game developer, I just thought, whoa, you know, like I could predict that, yeah, maybe if I really did, you know, kept working out, I could keep building my business. But I also predicted that I wouldn't be happy. I just thought, no, I'm not going to enjoy that. So that was that. You know, that, at that point, you have to admit to yourself that you're on the wrong path. Even if you don't feel like you can change it at that point, it's important to be truthful because that will invite the strength you need to make those changes. But you can never change if you're going to succumb to falsehood and denial. See, we so often we turn our back on growth when we start denying our problems. You know, pretending everything's okay.
Ooh, this is really good. Let's talk more about the love principle.
Yeah, love. In this sense, you know, we're thinking about love as a verb. It's like the action of connecting with what you want. And in order to do that, though, you have to remain free from what you don't want. The more you get what you don't want in your life, it puts you into that emotional state of love only when you're connected with what you want. When you're not connected with what you want, you're going to feel things like depression, stress, apathy, boredom, maybe some anger, you know, lots of negative emotions. So when you're feeling this emotion of love, it goes hand in hand with the verb love, which means you're out there connecting with what you want. It's like you're doing what you enjoy. You're bringing into your life what you desire. And that's a universal principle because it doesn't matter what we're referring to. It doesn't matter if we're talking about financial abundance or a certain career you love or relationships with the type of people you really feel compatible with or a spiritual practice that really resonates with you. Whatever it is, we need to... The path of growth in terms of the love principle means bringing more and more of what we desire, of what we want to connect with into our lives. And then that, you know, that's what creates that emotion of love, of feeling in that state of love all the time.
Wow, this is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Okay, so let's go on to the third principle of power.
Power. Yes, this principle is your ability to create your reality. That's basically power. Power is your ability to create change. It's how, you know, truth, with truth, you're observing what you're getting. With love, you're getting clear about what you want. Now with power, you're closing that gap between truth and love. Now you're bringing your truth and love into alignment. Okay, now you're making your reality fit your desires. And so power is your ability to make that happen. It's your ability to do that. And this involves some personal character traits. It involves things like taking responsibility for your life, focusing on your desires, being able to focus on what you want and not thinking so much about what you don't want, self-determination, you know, making your own decisions, being able to focus, being able to make an effort. Even if it feels effortless, you still have to put in the time. You still have to take action. And even taking the time to think about what you want is an action. And also having the self-discipline to keep going, even when you're not quite seeing the results yet. So power aligns with truth and love to create some other secondary principles. We might explore those later, but truth, love, and power are really the key core principles. If you understand those, you will find that any problem in your life that you're having, where you're trying to grow or trying to create some kind of change and you're not getting it, can be traced back to some kind of misalignment with either truth, love, or power. Either that means that you're out of alignment with truth, meaning you're not perceiving reality accurately. You're not even listening to your own perceptions and predictions. You're not accepting them. You're not realizing that your life is heading the wrong direction and accepting that. Or you're out of alignment with love, which means you're not tuning into your desires. You're not connecting with what you want. You're not even identifying what you want much of the time. Or you're getting your life filled up with too much of what you don't want. And then there's that principle of power, which is your ability to make change. If you're not cultivating the ability to make those changes consciously, then you're also going to stagnate in your growth.
Wow, I think every professional in the field of psychology needs to read this book over and over again. Wow, this is really intense. Are you sure you're not a psychologist?
My college degrees are in computer science and math, so I come from a very logical, left-brain, technical background, and that's really what I tried to do with this model is to try to find a way to bridge head and heart. And to get what we intuitively feel about personal growth into a mental model that makes sense and that can be simple for everybody. The Truth, Love, and Power model is really quite simple. It's not that complicated. But the hard part is, it took me 2.5 years to come up with this model, just to make it that simple after I'd been working on personal growth for so long.
Yes, it's amazing you being so analytical, and yet you're able to delve into the human psyche. That's really, really incredible. But how much did your personal background come into play with this? I read that you actually had a troubled youth, did you not?
Yeah, that was what really got me started on the path of personal growth. When I was 19, I had a pretty rambunctious teenage time, you know, in my late teens, and I was going to college at the time, but I was pretty much just blowing off all my classes, and I got really heavily addicted to shoplifting, and I just started doing it like all the time, like every day. And it got to the point where I was just, you know, it was just like my morning espresso. You know, I'd go out, shoplift something, and go on with my day.
Wow.
And I wouldn't even keep much of the stuff I was stealing. I didn't even do it for that. It was just like for the thrill or for the high. So I would like, you know, go on these stupid missions and steal stuff and then just give it away. You know, I'd steal candy bars and give them away. I didn't even eat the candy because I didn't think it was healthy. So, you know, just doing it for the thrill. I would set goals like I'm going to go to this one store and steal all the whiteout they have. And see how many trips it would take me, you know, like a student supply store or something like that. And then I'd just give it away and end up like with 60 bottles of whiteout. It was just really insane what I was doing. And it just got on this totally destructive path. And eventually I got arrested, did some community service, got arrested again, did some community service, and then, you know, eventually got arrested for felony grand theft because I kept upping it and was stealing too much. And I had to spend about 3 days in jail just, you know, being held there for processing. And so I'm sitting in jail for a few days with nothing to do but realize that, you know, I really screwed up. Because at that point, I knew that, you know, because it was a felony, because I had priors, I was looking at spending a year or two in prison. That would be my most likely sentence. And I was caught red-handed, so there's not much of a defense there I could do. But what happened is by some kind of miraculous error from the court, I don't know if it was a computer error, human error, or what, they processed my case as a first offense. They didn't know it was a multiple offense situation. So the whole thing was dropped to a misdemeanor, and I got off with 60 hours of community service.
Wow.
Instead of something like 17,000 hours in jail. So I was shocked. I was amazed. And I really think that had to do with the law of attraction, because before that time, I felt so disempowered by the thought that I was going to be spending the next year or two of my life in jail, that I couldn't even think about it. So I didn't. So what happened is I started thinking about what I would do beyond that point. It's like I just blacked out that time, you know, and in my future, and just started thinking, what would I do beyond that point? And I started feeling really good because I thought, well, I'm starting from scratch. I can do anything. Nobody's going to expect anything of me at that point. It's like I killed off all the social conditioning, all those expectations, and I just started focusing on what I wanted. And so it was really strange when I went to court, and then I didn't end up having to go to jail, because it's like all that thinking about what I wanted, it's like it made the act of having to go to prison unnecessary, because it's like in my mind I already moved past that. Isn't that amazing?
Now that's a story I'm going to remember. Wow, that is really great. Let's go on to the practical application of it that you talk about in your book called Habits.
Habits can often turn into addictions if they're bad habits. That's what it got like with me with the shoplifting. The first time I did it, it was just like I don't even remember exactly. Like I think it was like a dare or, you know, just something doing it for the thrill, you know, stealing like some cassette tapes or something from a record store. And it got away with it, and then it just thought, you know, you get this adrenaline high. And so what happened is I kept doing it later for the adrenaline rush. But, you know, after a while, when it became a habit, then that adrenaline rush was no longer there. And so, I got to the point where I could just walk into a store, steal something casually, walk out, and my heart would not skip a beat. I mean, literally, it was no stress at all for me to do that. It was just like nothing. And because I did it so much, you know, that's how it gets so habitualized. It was just no big deal at all. And so in order to get that adrenaline rush, I had to keep upping the dosage. So I started taking bigger risks, you know, doing even more stupid stuff. Just basically stealing larger quantities of things. You know, instead of just stealing a few dollars or $10, $20 worth of stuff at a time, I eventually got to the point where I was stealing like $700 worth of stuff at a time, you know, gradually building up over a period of time. And it was just, you know, then just doing more, you know, bigger and bigger and stupider things for that rush. And that's, you know, I'm actually glad that I got arrested at that point, because I don't know how much farther it would have gone if I didn't. But in terms of habits, what I found is one of the best ways to change a habit or to break a bad habit is to do what's called the 30-day trial. So that you can actually use this for breaking bad habits, and you can also use it for installing new habits. And the way I do this is you basically just, you know, it's like a psychological trick you're playing on yourself, because when you think of giving up something or making some kind of change permanently, it's too much. You feel deprived. But instead, if you form it as a challenge of just something you're going to do for 30 days, just 1 month, and then you can go back, well, that's something that many people can muster the discipline to do. Like I did a trial a while back where I was, you know, wanted to get up at 5 a.m. every morning. I wanted to see if I could install that habit. So I just did, you know, did a 30-day trial of it. And of course, what happens at the end of the 30-day trial? Well, now when you have the option of going back, you're looking back on 30 days of success with this new habit. So it's actually harder to go back, because you think, wow, I've been going this long, what's one more day? And you end up just keep continuing on that path. And I've installed a number of interesting habits just doing that 30-day trial approach. I don't always keep the habit, but this way at least you know what it's like. You get that informed decision. So it helps bring a little more truth to your situation. And the cool thing is the habits, once you've done 30 days of it, you're going to start making new predictions. Because now you're predicting your future with this new habit already installed, rather than all the hard work of having to install it and feeling deprived. You're just thinking, oh, well, it's easy. I've done it for 30 days. I can keep going. So, you know, it's a very empowering thing to do.
So you're saying you could have stopped the shoplifting habit if you used the 30-day system?
Yeah, well, in that case, what I would have done to break that bad habit, because I was actually having something of a physiological addiction to the adrenaline rush, uh-huh. As I would have found, I would have realized that in that case, breaking that habit by itself might not have been totally enough. I might have needed to add something in. So it's like, if I'm subtracting that from my life, what am I going to put in instead? So if I'm losing the shoplifting, then what could I add that would give me some excitement to my life and yet would not be self-destructive? So I would have looked to install some kind of new habit. Probably a good one to install would have simply been daily exercise, or maybe some kind of dietary improvement. Something else to challenge myself, something else that made me, you know, stimulated and interested, but not, you know, in a self-destructive way where I'm getting addicted to my own, you know, the chemical imbalances I'm creating from this adrenaline rush. So you know, usually when you got some kind of addiction, you want to do a two-part thing. You want to go without it, but at the same time, you want to be installing a new habit to replace it that will give you some of the same benefits in a positive instead of self-destructive way.
I find it really interesting that the Mayo Clinic did a study and found that you can effectively rewire your brain within 30 days, or actually at 30 days. So I find that your program fits right in with this. I mean, even though you perhaps didn't know, it's scientifically documented.
I've heard some other people say, you know, the common advice is you can change a habit in 21 days. You know, that's how long it takes to break or change a habit. In my experience, I like 30 days because it seems to have a nice rhythm to it. It's like a single month. It works well also for New Year's resolutions. You know, people starting on the first of the year, and they basically go till roughly the end of January. So you get that first month under your belt. So you're thinking of it as like a new month resolution instead of a New Year's resolution. It's also if you start on the first of a month, it's easy to track how far along you are, because then the date that you're at is how many days you've done.
Well, that will definitely make things a lot easier after New Year's. Steve, let's go back a little bit. You talked about the guiding principles of trust, love, and power, but you have four other principles that go hand in hand with those three. What are those?
The other four principles are derived just by adding up different combinations of truth, love, and power. So we get the fourth principle of oneness is simply truth and love. The fifth principle is authority, and that's simply truth and power. And the sixth principle is courage, which is love and power. And then that final seventh principle that encapsulates all of them, truth, love, and power, is intelligence. So oneness is basically the place where truth and love overlap. This is getting so aligned with truth that we, you know, imagine that you became all-knowing. Now you have the sense of oneness with everything out there. Another way to get to the principle of oneness is you can go through love. If you got so connected that your life was filled with everything you wanted and nothing you didn't want, you know, if that's your reality, now you're also in a state of oneness. So we can get to oneness either by pursuing truth to the ultimate, or love. And you know, I see oneness as this wonderful combination of truth and love. It's really this alignment where we're so in tune with our reality that, like, everything we see, we know is us. You know, everything we see in the world, we know that's a part of me, and we don't feel any separation whatsoever. And we go through life and we have brief glimpses of this where we just feel so tuned in, so connected. It's like we're just on. You know, everybody's like connected with us. Everybody's our friend. Everything's going wonderfully. Life is great, and like we feel reality's on our side and nothing's against us. And when we're out of alignment with oneness, we experience this feeling of separation. Okay, and that can come either from a lack of alignment with truth or a lack of alignment with love, or both. And the, you know, the more we move away from oneness, the more we feel depression, anger, this sense of disconnectedness, loneliness. So oneness is a universal principle to move towards that can really help us in any area of our life we want to improve. You know, we can move into this feeling of oneness with financial abundance. We can move into it with a career path that fulfills us. We can move into it with our relationships. We can move into it with a body, you know, a body that feels like it just resonates health. Let's move on to the authority principle. The authority principle is this combination of truth and power. This, again, you know, is we can get so aligned with truth that we feel like we can relate to our reality as the ultimate authority on it because we know everything there is to know. Okay, so similarly, we can become so powerful in our ability to create what we want that we also have this sense of authority that we're in control of our reality. The less aligned we are with truth and power, the less of an authority we are in our own lives. And the opposite of authority is basically victimhood. You know, we become too much of a victim. We're constantly being surprised by how reality works. We feel it's a lot of luck and chance. We feel disempowered to make any kinds of changes. And that, again, moves us away from growth. So the more we can align ourselves to being an authority of our own lives, the faster we'll grow. And the sixth principle is courage, which is this combination of love and power. Love is what provides the motivational aspect of courage. You know, if we get so tuned in to what we want that we're just absolutely driven, absolutely motivated, then we just move past fear. That's one way to get past fear, is the motivation becomes so strong that fear just can't hold us back anymore. Another way we can get there is through power. We become so strong in our character, so disciplined, that nothing stops us, because even if we're afraid, we're just going to act anyway. It's like fear is not enough to stop us because we're strong enough that we're going to act no matter what. It's like whatever would seem scary to us, it's like too small an obstacle to even bother with anymore. It's like, just get out of my way, fear. I'm coming through. So you know, that the principle of courage, a lot of people think that we can get what we want in life without exhibiting courage. I don't see that at all. I think courage is one of those universal principles that, you know, either we can get there by being totally disciplined, or we can get there by being totally motivated and connected. You know, in other words, through power or through love, we can achieve that state of courage. And that gives us the ability to overcome fear, you know, to not let our fear stop us and to not let obstacles get in our way. And then when we sum up truth, love, and power, we end up with this principle that you could call wisdom. I like the label intelligence. And this is the point where, when we're aligned with intelligence, we're really doing what we came here to do as human beings. We're really fully expressing ourselves creatively. We're living authentically. We're growing. We have the state of flow. And our lives become almost like a work of art. They become a thing of beauty. It's like when you reach this level where you're living really intelligently, your life is just this awesome thing to behold. You just look at each day and it's a marvel. It's something wonderful to experience, because now you're aligned with truth and love and power. You're aware of what you want. You're aware of what you're getting. You're moving into greater connection of what you want, and you're empowered. You're taking action. And this is not a state of perfection. This is a state of ongoing growth. So it's not about like reaching this ultimate point of life where we say, I'm done, I'm ready to die now, I've done everything I came here to do. It's more of an ongoing upward spiral of alignment. We come into greater and greater alignment with these principles, and we live as more and more authentic human beings.
Wow, that really brings in great clarity, especially for me. I'm really getting a lot out of this. The second part of your book has to deal with the practical applications, which is, again, very, very important. Let's talk about relationships.
Okay, well, let's say you're in a relationship right now. The first thing is to use the principle of truth. So, you know, you use these principles basically as diagnostic tools. You ask yourself, am I aligned with this principle or am I not aligned with this principle? And whenever you find you're not aligned with a principle, that's the area where you need to work on. So if we're talking about a relationship, when we look at truth, now we're saying, okay, what do I perceive? You know, what am I aware of in this relationship? And what do I predict is going to happen? Where do I see this relationship going? It's like, what are my, you know, logical, natural predictions based on what we've, based on what we're experiencing right now, where is this relationship headed? Just become aware of that. You don't have to judge it at that point. Just become aware of where that is. You know, face the truth and accept it and say, okay, that's where we're going. Got it. Then we move on to the principle of love. And here we're basically saying, okay, now what do I want? Now that I see what I'm getting, is this what I want? And if we're out of alignment with this principle, then we're just not getting what we want. You know, we might be seeing what we're getting and accept it, but if we're not getting what we want, then we need to make some changes. And this is where you have to tune in and identify what you do want. Is this the relationship you want to have? Even if you're not in a relationship, is that the situation you want to have? Or do you want to move towards something else? And try to get a clear picture of that. Try to identify it. And just let go of the socially conditioned goals that tell you what you should have and focus instead on what you really want. Give yourself permission to want what you want. And don't worry what anybody else thinks of it. And then in the power side, we're saying, okay, now we need to take some action. Are we taking action? Like, now that we're aware of what we're getting and we're aware of what we want, are we doing something about it? Are we closing that gap? You know, are we closing that gap between truth and love so we can bring them together and experience that state of oneness where what we want is what we're actually experiencing? So I'll just use those first three principles. You can also use the principles of oneness, authority, courage, and intelligence to diagnose even more deeply. But truth, love, and power will give you an incredible overview, because you'll see either I'm not paying attention to what I'm getting, or I'm not connected with what I want, I'm not tuning into what I really want and focusing on that, or I'm not doing anything to close that gap between the two. And that, you know, that'll tell you where you need to direct your efforts. There are many situations where, you know, you're in a relationship situation and you have the courage to make changes, but you just don't even see where you're going. You're totally blind to it. You know, you don't realize your relationship's heading to a train wreck. Those are the people who say, my wife suddenly left me and I just never saw it coming. Why? Because maybe they didn't communicate. You know, they didn't take the time to talk and see the truth. I mean, you know, to get truth, you may need to communicate. You may need to share what you're experiencing with your relationship partner. You know, some people are out of alignment with love. They know they're not happy, so they're aligned with truth. They can see where they're heading is not the right direction, and they have the ability to make some changes, but they just don't know what to do about it. They don't know where to go. They don't know what they really want. So that's, you know, that's where they have to get deeper connected with love and get a clearer sense of what they actually want. And other people are out of alignment with power, so they're disempowered. They know they're not happy. They know they want something else, and they even have a decent idea of what it is, but they just don't feel like they can get there. It's like too big a deal for them. You know, oh my gosh, going through divorce and all that and the kids and this, and it'll be too complicated. So you know, using these truth, love, and power principles, we can diagnose what we need to work on. And in the book, there are exercises that will help you increase your alignment with truth, increase your alignment with love, increase your alignment with power. But, you know, so once you know the area where you're weak and that's the area you need to bring yourself back into alignment with, there's some things you can do to pull yourself back up again.
Steve, what advice do you have for the listeners about the current economic trends and their finances?
One of the things, I'll address the financial side first, because that's one where I notice a lot of people are out of alignment with truth. See, one of the simple truths about money is if you just ask what is money, well, it's a medium for exchanging value. And a lot of people focus on trying to get money. They're trying to, like, pull money towards them, draw it into their lives. But that isn't really how money works, per se. If money is a medium for exchanging value, then to me it makes a lot more sense that if you want to attract more money into your life, more financial abundance, focus on providing more value. In other words, creating and delivering more value. Now, when I was first starting in business, I got interested in the law of attraction. I read books like Think and Grow Rich at the time. And the first 5 years of running my business, I just failed utterly. I sank deeper and deeper into debt, and I eventually went bankrupt, even though I thought I was doing everything right from the law of attraction standpoint. I was thinking all about money. I was visualizing, money coming to me. The problem was is that I wasn't creating the value. I wasn't putting out the value. So there really wasn't much of a way for money to flow to me except by luck or by chance. And I did have some money showing up into my life, but then it was like always in the form of debt. That's how the money was coming to me. It was like money I owed back. Because here's the money, but since money is an exchange of value, you got to give something back for this. That's how it was coming to me. It's like I was attracting debt. So instead, I realized that was a mistake, and I started thinking, what would happen if I focused on the other side of the equation? Instead of trying to pull money towards me, I just started trying to give value out to other people. Like, in other words, focus on the creative side, creating and delivering value. And I was working on developing computer games at the time, and I realized the problem was that I was spending so much time developing and not enough time releasing games. So I when I shifted my mindset there, I just quickly developed and released a game, and then sort of moved forward from that with that mindset, and everything turned around financially. Within about 6 months, I was having a positive cash flow again, and everything started going great. And ever since then, I've had positive cash flows every year. That was like 9 years ago, and it's my finances have just been getting better and better since then. So now I always tell people, focus on just creating and delivering as much value as you can. That's how you should be using the law of attraction financially. Focus on the giving side, because when you do that, then you're putting out that value, and now you've got something to exchange for money. Now it's like all this value you're creating and delivering to others, it's going to, as you put it out there, it comes back to you in the form of money. And now that money that's coming to you is rewards. It's abundance that you've earned. It's not debt that you're going to have to pay back.
I think that bears repeating. The focus needs to be on the quality of the product rather than on the money.
Yeah, it could be anything. It could be creating products, creating music, creating articles, books, whatever. It doesn't really matter what you're creating. You can provide a service. And I just wrote an article just this week about how to do that and posted it on my blog. I think it's the one at the top of my blog right now, called something like How to Create Value or How to Create Real Value. And the idea behind the article is that there's different levels of value we can create for other people. Like in my writing, I know that when I post an article, some people are going to write back and say, that was a great article. I really appreciate it. Well, that's one type of value. But how much value did I really provide to those people? Maybe a little bit of stimulation, maybe some entertainment value, maybe some education. But a week from now, will they even remember that they read that article? And is it going to impact them in any way? On the other hand, there are some articles when I post them that I get the kind of feedback that says, I just quit my job and I'm starting my own business. Well, that's a big change in somebody's life that article helped to create. And I hear this kind of feedback over a period of years, and when I get feedback that says, I read your series about diet, and I showed it to my dad, and he lost 70 pounds using that. That's a real value that I can see I'm providing. That's a lot more value than the much weaker value I see when people just say, great article. So this is something that we have to pay attention to. This is the truth aspect there. Is that how much value are we really providing? Can we see some kind of tangible, positive change in the world as a result of what we're creating and putting out there? If we can see that tangible, positive result, you know, somehow other people are benefiting, then we know we've got some good value we're putting out there. If we're just hearing some positive feedback and pats on the back, we're still providing some value, but not quite as strong. So that may not attract quite as much abundance. And the more, you know, I find that the more we can drive ourselves deeper into our core being, the more we can just, like, be the person we're meant to be fearlessly and just put ourselves out there, that's when we create the stronger type of value. When we start succumbing to socially conditioned goals, like if I read an article that I think would be an interesting one to write for, you know, for what people are asking of me, but it's not really something I feel compelled or motivated or inspired to write, then I almost always get the weak value type of, you know, feedback. If I really put something out there where I feel like I'm stepping up and I'm doing something that I feel truly inspired about and it's really important to me and I really think it's going to benefit people, that will tend to deliver the stronger value where I'll see bigger changes in people's lives.
I can really identify with what you're saying, and I feel that it is so important to create a phenomenal product, and I can feel it with this show that's what I'm striving for. That's what's more important to me, and I love getting those emails that say, you know, this is really changing my life. Wow, that's the validation that is the million-dollar check for me. That is my monetary award right there. There's nothing better.
I agree. It's like, some people say that the money is gravy. I don't even see it like that so much anymore. I used to see it like that, and now it's almost like the money is just unnecessary. I remember back in 2004 when I was watching Dr. Wayne Dyer give his speech at the Hay House Conference. He said that some people walk up to him like after speech or something and say to him, you know, Dr. Dyer, some people say that you've made a lot of money. And he says to them, they would be right. I have. And he says, but it's not my fault. I just, you know, I just do what I'm doing and it just keeps coming to me. It's like this, you know, it's an ocean or something. It's, you know, I'm paraphrasing him a bit, but I just thought that's an amazing mindset. You know, it's not my fault. It's like it just happens. And I thought, how could you, you know, I couldn't even relate to it to that level of thinking at the time. That it's like that's how you think about money. It's just like it just comes. It just happens. It's, you know, it's just there. It's like abundance is my nature. I could just see that in him. It's like he was just resonating with abundance. And it wasn't until years later that I finally started to experience that type of feeling for myself, where I realized, you know, I had stopped setting financial goals. I had stopped even thinking about money. I realized I didn't even know how much money I was making anymore. I wasn't even thinking. I just, like, stopped thinking those terms. And even though I still have bills to pay, and, you know, I still have a bank account to manage, I still have accounting to do, a business to run, it's like I just wasn't even paying attention to the numbers. It just didn't matter anymore. It's like that wasn't what my life was about. And it's like I lost all that fear of financial lack, and I just started assuming abundance. It's just like it was just normal. Like that was just the default state of being. It was not something I had to work towards anymore. And that's when I realized, wow, it's like something in me has really shifted. And that feeling of abundance has nothing to do with money. Because I feel like even if I lost all my money, all my possessions, you know, take away my website, whatever, lose all those assets, and I'm just starting from scratch, I feel like I could still maintain that state of being. Because it's not about the money. It's just this feeling of universal abundance.
And when people say, you know, I've got to make $10,000 this month. Well, when they say that, automatically, they're focusing on the lack of the $10,000 from the very beginning. So they're not really getting anywhere.
Totally. And another side of the equation you could say is, how can I create $10,000 worth of value this month? You know, or, you know, that was helpful to me a little bit in the beginning, but eventually it was just a more general question of how can I create value? You know, you don't even need to put a price tag on it. Just like, what can I do to create a lot of value for people this month? What can I do? What can I create that I would enjoy creating, that other people would enjoy receiving? You know, what can I put out there? I mean, for me, there's different ways of expressing that. I can write an article. I could record a podcast. I could give a speech, do a workshop, or even just have a little consultation with somebody or a conversation. there's all different ways to express that value you can create, and you can put it out through all these different media. Even this interview we're doing is another way of expressing that. And, you know, so we want to separate a little bit that message that we're putting out that creates value from whichever media we're using. You know, too often people will identify themselves as a writer or a blogger or a speaker when really you're none of those things. It's like, you know, the core part of you is the message that you're putting out, and it doesn't matter what medium you're using.
You know, I can already feel my listeners right now are saying to themselves, you know, I'm going to have to listen to this show over and over again because there's so much information on it. Steve, let's talk about the world globally and your principles. How can we apply this on a global level?
Okay, well, you know, this is where we can still use the truth, love, and power principles, because they're all seven of these principles, really, since they're universal. It doesn't matter whether you're applying them to an individual or to groups of people or to the entire planet. So, you know, let's say some of the issues facing this country and, you know, the planet as large. We can ask ourselves, are we aligned with truth? You know, are we admitting the truth of our situation? Like what's happening to the environment? You know, what's happening with military conflicts? Are we at least aware of that, and are we predicting where this is going to go? You know, if you look at something like the war on terror, where do we predict that's going to go? Is that going to make things better, or is it going to make things worse? Well, many people predict it's going to make things worse, and it seems like that's the effect it's having. So, is that really, where do we predict that all this armed conflict is going to go? If we're going to create more and more violent weapons, more and more destructive effects, you know, kill more and more people, where is that going to take us? Where is that going to lead us? Is that where we want to go? The principle of love is connecting with what we want. What kind of planet would we like to create? Well, I think most people would agree that a planet in peace would be good. A planet where human survival is likely, you know, rather than unlikely, is also good, and where we can minimize our negative environmental footprint and you know, take care of the environment that supports us. That's pretty important too. You know, that's something we all feel deep down we want to connect with. I don't think anybody, you know, is really wants the opposite. But we just have to get in tune with those feelings. Now that last principle, power, this is one that is, you know, a pretty big deal, because, you know, do we have the power to make these changes? Are we doing what needs to be done? Are we taking the actions? Or are we moving away from that? Like, and this is something that we as individuals have to ask ourselves. We can't just, like, put the responsibility off on someone else, because that moves us away from alignment with power. When we deny responsibility for the planet as a whole and we say that's somebody else's problem, we're moving out of alignment with power. The way we get aligned with power is we say, what can I do? What can I as an individual do? And we can do a lot as individuals. You know, we can take charge of the effect that we're having on the planet in our own lives, and just be aware of what we're doing, you know, what effect it has. Be aware of how what we eat affects the planet. Be aware of, you know, the way we live our lives, how that affects things. And start just making small changes. Make the changes we can. And from there we can inspire other people to do the same. And that can have a rippling effect. You know, even if you just make changes for yourself, you'll find that you influence lots of other people to do the same. So, you know, these truth, love, and power principles really affect how we as individuals relate to the planet as a whole as well. You know, how do we predict our actions as individuals will affect the planet? Are we connecting with what we want? And are we empowering ourselves to make positive changes?
Steve, let me ask you one final question about the law of attraction. Do you think it's scientific or a spiritual or a metaphysical law, or what is your feeling about the law of attraction?
You know, I think it's all of those things. I don't really separate those in my mind. To me, scientific and spiritual they overlap so much. I tend to see things as all just a part of the soup of consciousness, and I think the law of attraction is really just the way reality works. It's just part of the underlying structure of reality. Science is figuring that out, but the law of attraction is there whether science notices it or not. It's there whether we think of it in spiritual terms or not. So I see it's just, I think the law of attraction is just part of the nature of consciousness itself. It's just the nature of this conscious reality we find ourselves in. And spirituality, science, religion, these are all different lenses through which we can view it, through which we can interpret it. But it it's not the law of attraction itself. The law of attraction is a universal principle. So because it's universal, we can look at it through any lens we want, and it's still there. We can also use the law of attraction as a lens for looking at spirituality. So we can sort of flip it around. We can say, you know, whatever it is about our being that we're putting out, that's the kind of spiritual beliefs we're going to create for ourselves. That's the kind of spiritual life experience we'll have. That's the kind of scientific experience we'll have in our life. You know, however we're using our own thoughts and emotions to create. So, you know, we can look at it through both ways, but since the law of attraction is a universal principle, we can look at it through one of those lenses. We can also use it as a lens itself to look at other parts of our lives.
I just want to remind everybody of your book, Personal Development for Smart People. And that's on the host page. So you can just click on that. It will take you directly to Amazon where you can purchase the book, or you can purchase the book at any fine bookstore. Steve, why don't you give people your website address so they can go visit you on your world-famous blog?
My website is just stevepavlina.com. That's stevepavlina.com. And it's filled with lots of free articles and information on personal development. There's about 800 articles on the site right now. There's a very popular discussion forum there with thousands of members who post on all different kinds of topics all the time. So if you have any challenges or problems in your life you want to get advice with, it's a very helpful and supportive community. People there are generally very positive and, you know, give a lot of great advice. So that's a good place to get help. It's all free. Everything on the site is free. So, you know, lots of articles to read, lots of audio programs you can listen to, all free as well. So just tons of free material there to help you on your path to personal growth. It's not going to be an easy path, but, you know, it's definitely challenging, but the idea is that these resources will help you get there.
Well, I can't believe this hour is up, but it is. Steve, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all this wonderful, wonderful information with us. I mean, really, it was fantastic. I enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, Julie. It was my pleasure.
Oh, Steve, the pleasure was all mine. And to all the wonderful listeners out there, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week with Todd Silva. Bye-bye. You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.